Okay, so just to kick off, Joan, if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself, you know, where you were born and...
My name's Joan France, and I'm one of a family of three sisters, a brother, mother and father. We lived in 24 King Street, which is opposite St Paul's Road. Mm-hmm. We two up and two down. My father worked for his father, who was a market gardener in Prestbury. And my mother's family lived two streets down, which was Hereford Place. And we looked up and they think they're from gypsy descent. Mm. And I can remember when she used to put a shawl around her shoulders and a cap on her hand and go to the pub at the end of Hereford Place to get half a pint of beer or something, one of those. And I had she had a son called Reggie, and he used to put the bike with the wheel out in the curb. He used to put some seed down. He used to put a piece of string on the wheel, hide inside, and it was pigeon for dinner. He did it regularly. And
so when is it you were born, Jane?
I was born 29/9/29, September 1929.
Okay.
And I was born in King Street. My mother had three girls, and we had a small double bed, and we all three slept in that for all our lives till we got married. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult to explain. We were never hungry, and we were never without clothes and shoes, but we never had any money. No, there was no money about in those days. So you had new clothes twice a year, new shoes twice a year. And
so this is when you were a child,
the war? Yes, over the road, yes. Well, I was 12 when the war was declared. Mm-hmm. But it's really strange. I never felt I was poor. Mm-hmm. I had lots of friends. Always played in the streets, of course. You never played in the house because there wasn't room. You had a job to sit down to eat, to sit and play. But it was a very, very self-centred little life. We all got on. And my mother had very strong views. And I did write some down. Mm-hmm. Nobody's better than anybody. King or tramp. God made everybody. She wasn't a religious lady. Mm-hmm. God made everybody. And you respect everybody because their life is... Mm-hmm. That was one. Another one was food on the table, roof over your head, fire in the grate. That's all you need. Everything else is extra, and they're wants. And you know what want? Daddy didn't get it. And we never asked for anything. We always knew that if my mother could have afforded it, she would have given it us. You know, I've got a whole thing full of them, and. You always respected everybody else. I'm not saying we didn't... Do you know where Brunswick Street is up here? Then? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Brunswick Street was the roughest, toughest area.
Was it?
Yeah.
Why is that?
You never ran past... If you went past... In St George's Road, there's a big church. It's in Flaxner. That was the church, Methodist Church, St George's. And we used to go up there three times a day on Sunday to Sunday school. We used to go to Brownies and clubs. But you always ran by the end of Brunswick Street. You never walked.
Were there some unsavoury people living there?
They were all unsavoury to us. We were terrified of them, yeah.
Okay.
Used to just run by. And, it was... somebody said to me, somebody's bought a house down... I said, Brunswick Street? And it's all young couples. Yeah. And Hereford Place, where my grandmother lived, that was all... slums, and they built the houses down the other side, St Margaret's Road, and those the other side. That they rehoused. That was the first slum clearance from St Paul's.
Okay.
And they came from down the lower and there, and they're lovely houses. And we just walked past them. Mm. And
So your mother, who had these wonderful sayings that everyone's kind of the same. Yeah. It doesn't matter. So was your mother from the area as well?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was brought up here. Yeah, her sister lived next door, Auntie Nell, and she was better than us because she only had one child, and my mum had three, so they were better off
space.
Than that. Yeah, a bit more space, and you're a little bit better off with only one in there.
Okay, and do you think when you were a child and your mother had this wonderful saying? Mm. I suppose looking back on it now, you're probably, you can say that because the part of the town that you grew up in, there's a distinct difference between that area and other parts of the town.
You didn't tell anybody you lived in Oradoccum.
Okay.
You never told people you lived there. You'd say, oh, there is by St Paul's, you know, just by St Paul's. And they'd have to, you'd really have to know you before you told them where you lived, you know.
So you were ashamed of saying it?
Oh, you wouldn't. Well, not only ashamed, they wouldn't give you a job. They'd say, oh, how are you? And they wouldn't treat you again.
So, yeah, right,
no,
okay.
You really were, yeah. But it didn't matter. We didn't matter.
Was that because the area was regarded as poor and rough?
Yes, really rough. I mean, I don't know if you know Grove Street. Have you heard anybody tell you about Grove Street in Lower Dockham?
Well, I know Grove Street is, and that's where the community centre is now.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, in my day, it was all the drunks and all the. My mother was very proud. She called the men of the road tramps. And drinkers, they all ended up there.
On Grove Street.
On Grove Street. And anybody, yes. And so, and I always had a terrible fear of people who were drunk. My mother, right from child, and I would go right round the block. And my mother used to say, well, if you touch them, they'd fall over, you know. But I always had a fear of them, so I didn't. Mm. But we had a Member of Parliament. Anybody told you about Mr. Lipson?
No.
Well, Mr. Lipson was a Jewish gentleman. And he was independent MP. And we used to, children used to sing, vote, vote, vote for Mr. Lipson, who's that knocking at the door? Because the Conservatives would bring a car, take you to vote for the Conservatives. But you got in the car and voted for Mr. Lipson, you see, when you got there. But he was a wonderful gentleman, and he did a lot for Lower Dockham. And after him,
So was he from the area, or was he just somebody who was
No, he was just somebody who had great deep, well, great deep caring of the people. He always knew you went to him. Mm-hmm. And then we had a Mr. Irvin. Mr. Irvin was a single gentleman, and he had a hotel up the Bath Road, mm-hmm. and he used to look after the people who all the drinking people and that. And he was. The next, and he was the MP for years and years and years. But
when
helped,
do you remember
everybody.
When that was? When Mr. Lipson was the MP?
Well, I was about 7 or 8, I should think. Upwards.
So during the 1930s.
I would think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he used to wear a pot hat and that. But then Mr. As I say, Irvin, and he's another man that, don't know if you know, we Cheltonians are very proud. I'm a Cheltonian, and we're a dying breed, you know.
Yeah.
Because there aren't many of us left. All you interlopers have all come
in. Yeah, that's true.
And we never, ever mix with Gloucester. We never go to Gloucester. And Gloucester gets all the money, you see, because it's a city. And we have to make do with what we're given, you know. Mm. So we're very proud, and we make sure we're not left out, you know.
Okay.
And but Mr. Irvin, he helped a lot of people. And I don't, well, we won't know, but when he died, he left his money, and he's got two big houses, two for people with coming out of prison and drinkers, and up in right towards Presbury, and that's how he left his money, and it runs ever so well. They come in, there's no problem, they come in, stay 6 months, get on their feet and get a job.
Mm.
So we've been very fortunate in Cheltenham, having some very caring people.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have somebody that sticks up for you.
So you mentioned, you referred to the area as Lower Dockham, mm-hmm. and this is something I've learned about recently, because some people, I mean, yesterday I spoke to a lady whose father ran the cinema, the Isoldo.
Yeah, yeah.
So she came, she was 8 years old when her father was the manager. So that was in the 1950s, but mm-hmm. she'd never heard it called Lower Dockham.
So she wasn't brought up in Lower Dockham.
So what is Lower Dockham?
Dockham is from about the Bowling Green by St. Paul, by St. George's Street. I'll tell you. You know Cheltenham?
Mm-hmm.
When I was a child, do you know Henrietta Street?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know the car park?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was, at the end, that was a big, big shop full of rope and baskets.
Mm-hmm.
the old building, you know, with all the wooden things on. Now that was the end. That was the beginning of Lower Dockham, and there, where they car park, they knocked house the old cottages down, and put the car park.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where? You won't know where Woolworths was. Where?
Well, I've seen pictures of the old Woolworths.
Yeah, that was the top,
mm-hmm.
and then just past top of Cheltenham. Now that was Cheltenham, and then the people came from. They brought GCHQ after the war and built Hester's Way
mm-hmm.
for them to come, and then when they got them in there, they built Ben Hall and all that for them to buy, and then they became council houses.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest thing. And but it's an.
So that meant that when they built all these new housing areas, people started moving out of.
That's right. Of that's the right. Because they did some clearance, but. You were labelled if you came from, yes. And I mean, I went to school and I learnt only, I left school at 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, during the war, we had one teacher between two classes sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they were just young people that were training to be teachers, you know. And so you learnt just to read and write and that.
And that was
basic. That was enough. And I went to Marks and Spencer's. My sisters went to Marks and Spencer's as well, and I stayed there for 10 years. And I worked my way up to being, and let's call it 14, and I was, it's called the welfare assistant. It's just with the manageress. She did I looked after the staff all the timing and everything. And I had no schooling, whatever. But nowadays, Marks and Spencer, you have to have a degree to go on.
These days, yeah, and that might not be enough to get a job these days. So when you were growing up as a child on this area, I mean, there's so much I want to ask you. I just hope I remember to ask it all. So you said that, you know, it was quite a nice, tight-knit community in the area.
Streetways. You belong to this King Street and you belong to Milsom Street.
So they were like little neighbourhoods.
Yes, you're owned it. And the next road to us was Milsom Street, but there weren't many houses in there because there was, I think the building's still there, used for something. It was a boys' school
mm-hmm.
then. So there was only two people that came from there. But there were Sidney Sonnis, Charlie Poston, me, Beryl, and Dickie Young. And we did everything together for years and years and years. And I was I was the poorest of the five. Because if there was a pictures on, they would ask for to go to the pictures and ask for a halfpenny for ice cream, and they paid for me.
Oh, okay.
And it was always done. I never realised that. I just accepted it. You know, you can come, Joan, because and I'd just open the door and shout, "Mum, I'm going to the pictures," and shut the door, and I'd be gone. But we were a close knit, and one time we used to cycle to Newham to pick the.
Ah.
Yeah, it's I wrote far. It to, all that way, and I used to have to borrow a bike or ride on that. And it's a good way. It's a good way to know it.
Mm.
And the one time we went, we went during the war, and they'd taken all the signposts down.
Mm.
So we weren't sure, but we got there. But do we go left or right? Yeah, we used to do that regularly.
And so I assume that your parents and, you know, everyone on the street had everything they needed on the Lower High Street in terms of the shops. They had everything.
Never went anywhere else. I mean, my mother didn't. They didn't go on holiday until we went to work, and we went to Butlin's with the people from Marks, and we paid for my mother to come. My father didn't want to go because he was a gardener. He never wanted to be away from his garden because he said, when you come back, you've got so many weeds to catch up with, it's not worth going. And we went, and that was the first holiday my mother had ever had.
Wow.
And we were all grown up, you know. Mm. You went for a walk after lunch on a Sunday, you went to church, and then after lunch you went for a walk. You used to go down Swindon Village, round to Presbury, and walk back down. But that was regular. That was your outing, really.
And so what about during the Second World War, during the war period? Yeah. How did that, do you remember, because you were 12 then, so you're a little bit older.
I was 12 when it started. Mm. I can remember that if there was all the lorries, when the invasion was going on, all the lorries and things, you couldn't cross when they were all, and so you were late for school. That was great. They'd go rumbling by for hours and hours, and you couldn't cross the road or anything. We had a, has anybody told you that we had a stick of bombs? We had the one bomb, and we had a stick, and the one was in the black and white bus station, which is at the top of St Margaret's Road.
Mm-hmm.
The next one went to Brunswick Street. The next one went into the back of the cinema, and my mother saw it go down, and then the other one went to Stoneville Street, and then the next, that was the stick.
Mm.
Well, my mother said, I know that there's a bomb in the back of the cinema.
Mm.
They went in, no, it's not there, and she wouldn't give up. So they went back, and it had fallen under the stage, so it could have gone off.
Oh,
and they, so they just, yeah, but that was, they, it was only, they used to crawl over, they used to go over night after night after night. We used to go down to the, allotment and stay down there. And,
when you used to hear the raids?
Yeah, get there, get up, go down. First of all, we used to go to the Bury. You know the big Bury at the corner of Henrietta Street? It's still there, there's some of it.
Mm.
We used to go down there. Cause, and then one day somebody said, well, what's going to happen if it all falls on you? They'll never get you out. So we all started going down there. We used to sit on sacks down there. And then when the all clear come, you came up. I don't think we'd ever told you Queen Mary came and saw us when we had the bombing. Did you know that?
No.
Well, you know North Street?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she used to stay in those houses on the right. And where there was a church there, but she used to stay there. And so we had, she was there when the bombs dropped. And so she
that
came.
Was during the war?
Yeah, she came there. So she walked down. She's, oh, and the one stopped, the one dropped right in, right outside the gates at St Paul's College. That's from the other one. And the blast went up King Street and got out. So they didn't knock any of the houses down. The blast sort of went in the four corners. It was in at the crossroads. And so all the blast went. We had broken windows, but not much.
Right.
So about 2 days later, Queen Mary came down. And she said, Queen Mary's coming to see. So we no, there wasn't crowds because nobody knew she was coming. She looked, she was a regal lady, she was really regal lady. And she said, oh, you poor dear, she said. And I looked at her and I said, well, it's all right, really, you know. And she said, well, I just thought I'd come and see for myself. And then she just regally, and she so walked down, she didn't have a car.
So everyone spoke to her?
Well, yes, she spoke to whoever was there, but it was only the people that were living there. There was no crowds or anything, it was just the people that just happened to be about.
So that isn't that strange that you get the Queen?
Queen, yeah, she was the Queen then, yeah.
Yeah, talking to, you know, the people of Lower Dockham.
Yes, right,
so the
yeah.
people, the other parts of Cheltenham looked down on.
Yeah, but she, and then, and she walked, she didn't come down by car either. She walked from North Street, which is the top.
Yeah, so you yeah. wouldn't get that now, would you?
No, you wouldn't, no. But anyway, let's see what else I've got here. Did you, does anybody told you about the Faggot and Peace Shop?
No.
Well, the Faggot and Peace Shop was down the Lower High Street, just this side of the bridge.
Okay.
And it was a normal house. It wasn't a shop. And they'd started this fish, this Faggot and Peace Shop. And in the front, there was a very posh table and two benches. And that was if you had faggots and peas. And you could buy the, take a jug and take them home. And you know faggots are made from all the oddments of the animal. Mm. And they were good ones. But if you didn't have much money, like most of the people in Lower Dockham, you got a halfpenny, you went in the back room and had just peas and the gravy. And of course, the gravy had all the bits from that thing. So if you could get a hold of a halfpenny, the kids used to go down and take as long as possible to eat it. And well, that was the Faggot and Pea Shop. And that was really cheap. You know, you, anybody with a bit of money could afford it.
So, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that, that shop, because from other stories I've heard, that all the people that ran the shops knew each other.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone knew, all the people that shopped in the area knew all the shop owners. Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, I mean, you couldn't misbehave, because my mother used to say, do you know what a little bird told me? And I said, no. She said, she saw you doing so-and-so, so-and-so. And I said, well, and I didn't think I was doing wrong, it's just that she decided. And I said, then birds want shooting. And so, little bird told me, you know, you never, you wouldn't, and if the policeman got, you know, you used to go scrogging and getting the conquerors out, off the lawn in the college because of beautiful concrete trees, to get over the wall, grab some of the nation, clear out of there, and he'd run. But they'd never, they'd just tell you, the policeman would just say, hey, do you know what they did?
Mm.
And it was, nobody destroyed anything. We got told off for standing on the corner of King Street when we come back from the youth club, talking, because the people inside said they couldn't hear their television. And that, you know, it was as simple as that.
Mm.
Nobody broke anything or destroyed anything. You just didn't do it.
So it sounds like it was quite a safe area.
Oh, very safe.
Yeah.
You could have gone out any time of night. Never lock your door.
Okay.
Nobody ever locked their door.
So why did other people from Cheltenham look down on the area so much? Was it just because the people were poor?
They were poor. Well, they were the dredges. I mean, it was where people who'd had nothing, like, you know, and, I mean, it's... But they were all very proud. I remember one lady, her husband didn't come back to the war, and she had four boys. And they were a little terrors, you know, because she had four boys on her own. And they went to Boys' Brigade. And when you went to Boys' Brigade, you had to have clean shoes and you had to have clean nails. And all four of those boys grew up to have good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would help each other. Another mother saying is, never a lender or a borrower be. If you're going to give it with grace. Because they can't afford to give it back, really. Then you become bad friends.
Mm.
And so there'd always be some, but you didn't. I kind of said you didn't need, want anything. You didn't want to buy. You didn't want.
You had enough to get by.
You were just given what you were, and that's all it was.
Mm.
But where did it?
Go on. Yeah. After the war.
Mm-hmm.
When, so by the end of the war, you were a teenager.
Working at Marks and Spencer's then.
Okay, so you were already working, but you still lived in with
still
your mother.
Still lived at home, yeah. Nobody could afford to go anywhere.
Yeah, really. So some of the other people I've spoken to have said that after the war, all they can remember is the area being very busy, and, you know, because it was all the shops were busy. Mm. All along both sides,
mm.
And they're all family run.
Yeah, the Greens and the. And
yeah, then, so yeah. you had the bakery, you had your butchers,
you had the fish place, yeah. Idles, the fish place on the corner of what's the name? Yeah,
you had your clothes shop, your dress shops.
The clothes shop was Miss Broad. She had a big one inch on the corner of St Paul's Road,
mm-hmm.
and her brother had one next to the sweet shop in the Lower High Street,
mm.
And Miss Broad was my Sunday school teacher as well, but she used to run a club. Now, you got 12 people or 15 people, and they all paid a shilling each, and you all drew a number. And when you drew your number, you had that 15 shillings
uh-huh.
to go and buy.
It's like a little lottery.
You pay in what you get, what you pay, but you get what you pay in, but you might have to wait. Some people liked it at the beginning. My mother always waited till the end. And then you had a chitney for £15, say.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you could get new clothes, because you didn't have enough money to go.
It was like saving up, yeah.
Yeah. So you used to do that twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you paid your shilling, and then you would have your new underwear or your hat for the straw hat for the summer.
So all the your neighbours and the people you grew up with, you've said that the area was poorer than other parts of the town. What kind of work did the people do? Did they live and work in the area? Or?
Oh, yeah, no. Dickie Young's grandfather was a bus driver. He thought he was rich. He was really well off. And we used to wait at the end. If he had any spare seats, he used to take us on the trips. Let me go from the bottom.
Okay.
There were such as a little engineering works at the end. There's still like something like that there mm-hmm. now. So one or two worked there. Then somewhere, my father worked on the land because he was but that was his full-time job. And he also had a double-sized allotment as well, because we were never hungry, never, mm-hmm. ever. He used to sell the stuff, you know, come up and people used to queue up to get his beans and his potatoes and stuff. And One was a builder. Now, the builder was a nightmare when we were kids because they don't get paid. They didn't get paid if they didn't work. And if it'd been bad weather, you hear him go off. Then the family was Smith. It was John Smith and Patricia Smith. And I can't remember the youngest. You hear him with his boots go down. And the whole street listened. Because if they had no work, he just came back. And you heard him dragging his feet to come back because there was no other work. And they just didn't have anything. Mm. Nothing. And so building was not the trade to be in. And then the next one, there were three that were decorators. The Whites were decorators. Uncle Charlie.
So they were very working class people, weren't they?
Yeah, but there was nobody who didn't work. Mm. There was nobody in the road that was unemployed in as much as they didn't hope to work if the work was there.
Yeah, so they weren't unemployed on purpose.
No. It's just that they couldn't work that day. Yeah. And then there was one or two that were widows. Well, the husbands didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was...
Did the area change a lot after the war?
Well, there was a lot. There was more money after the war.
Mm-hmm.
People started... I remember one of the men coming back from the war and he was sort of very poorly, mentally sick. And they found him a council house and... And my husband was in the army. He was in the Remy. When we came out of the forces, I had a council house. And on the day we came out of the forces, the council house key came through the door. But they don't do it now. You see, they don't. And then we lived there while we looked because we'd saved for a house to see where. So as you had time, I think we were there about 6 months or a year, and then we bought a house up Lakehampton. But they used to really look after you in those days.
So did you leave the area then for a bit?
I was the only one that left the area that went with my husband all around the world.
Okay.
I was the only one that did. And because my sister and my brother, and I had a younger brother that was born a lot later. And both my sisters never left the area.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. But I'd love to know, my sister and I are so different. I'd love to know if you spoke to her and you spoke to me, it would be so different.
Yeah.
It would be so different because she was such an unhappy person. She still is. Just as a person, her cups are half full. Mine's half full and hers is half empty.
Yeah.
But I did think when my daughter said I'd love to see how she sees it.
Mm.
Because my young sister, from the day she got her first job, she said, I will never, ever be poor again.
Mm.
And by gum, she hasn't. She saved every penny, and she still does. She doesn't. And the most important thing is her nice home and her money.
Yeah.
Because that's how it affected her. But me, I never really thought I needed anything. I was just.
But you so you left King Street when you got married.
Yes.
Mm. And when did you go back?
I went back when I had my elder daughter. We came out of the army. My husband did 15 years, and then we came back. I don't know what year it was. Angela was about 5. So it'd be back in the '50s, I think, sixties, early sixties. Then we came back.
Okay.
And. So Gillian and Angela, we lived in Lakehampton, and they went to a good school there, and they've both been to university. And Angela's very gifted. Her mother thinks she don't bother, but I think she's wonderfully gifted.
She is. She's very gifted.
She is very gifted. And but I always brought them up that what they have are gifts. Mm. Nobody's. They could both read before they went to school, and I said it's a gift. Mm. You know better than anybody else. So I think it might be because I drummed it into it. But it is important that you accept your gifts and also that you use your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use them, you lose them.
So when you were about, you say you bought a house in Lakehampton, so obviously that was a very different area.
Oh, yes, yes. My children went to a very good school.
Okay. So when you were still living in Lower Dockham...
Yeah.
How did you feel about other parts of Cheltenham? Because obviously it sounds like Lower Dockham was a little town.
Well, you just didn't associate with them. I mean, we went to church. I mean, the church, and people from everywhere else came to church.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought they were better than me.
Mm.
And I never, I think I must be a bit old. I never bothered that they had more than me.
Yeah.
It's just never bothered. I was always I like my life, and it makes me wonder sometimes. A bit strange. But I was, but we had lots of friends, never hungry. We didn't, I mean, I'll tell you something, we had four bikes in our family, my mother and my father, my oldest sister and the little one.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't room for mine. They couldn't get five in, so it was Joan that did without.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me. You know what I mean? If somebody else was there, I didn't get one.
So, yeah, because other people have told me that, for instance, I don't know if you remember this at all, but the promenade at one point used to have policemen or guards at either end to stop people who weren't proper.
But do you know the Clarence Square?
Yeah.
You used to pay to go in Pitfield.
You used to have to pay?
You paid to go into Pitfield. You know Pitfield, where the boat in lake?
Yeah.
You were allowed in there with your parents. But the other part, under the where the birds are, and Pitfield Pump Room, you paid a penny to go in there.
You had to pay a penny?
Yes, to go into there. And you had to pay... You know Clarence Square, they've got... You had to pay to go in all those places.
In the squares?
Yes, yes. If they let you went in, you had to pay to go in.
And was it just because of who you were?
They didn't want... Well, no, if you couldn't afford the penny, you didn't matter, did you?
That's right, yeah.
Didn't matter where you lived if you didn't have a penny. Yeah. Oh, yes, you had to pay to go in there. And
so people never went?
No. Yeah. Oh, yes, they did. Do you know there's Norton Park? Do you know Norton Park?
Yeah.
You couldn't walk through from... Because I lived in those, you know, those cottages on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I did 41 years looking after those for nothing. I looked, it was a very old trust, and I stayed there. And I studied it, you know, around where. And you could only walk through on the sports day. They opened the gate into the back, and you could only walk through on sports day. You couldn't go in there otherwise.
Yeah,
and no paying, but you didn't realise, didn't they?
So, obviously, this must mean that people from other parts of Cheltenham never came to Lower Dockham, or did they?
Oh, no.
Right.
You wouldn't go down there. And they would think, I mean, like, we were terrified of the people in Brunswick Street, but probably they might chase you, or they might go for you, you know, but mind you, I'd have been up in Nutton Back if they'd have started on me. I always felt that if people bullied people, I would always stick up for them. My mother used to say, somebody picked on Doreen. I said, she's big enough and ugly to look after herself. I wouldn't help them. But, you know, somebody was being picked on. And if they saw me coming, they'd run.
Mm.
And now, I don't know what I'd have done because there was more of them than me. But it was that fear that, you see, that Joan wouldn't put up with them bullying them, you know.
But the people from different areas of the town didn't mix very much.
No, not
apart from at church, perhaps.
Yes, in the church. But there again, they were mainly from, you know, Mansour Street and St. Hudson Street. That's right next to the Pitfield. It's near here.
Yeah.
You go down past St. Margaret's Road's only just over the road. Well, at the back of there, there's a street called Hudson Street and Mansour Street. Now, I don't know if you know, but there's a very famous family called Johnsons, and they're the biggest rogues that ever walked this earth. And they get away with it, you know, they really are. They. But to talk about look after their mother was the loveliest lady. They lived in the first house in Mansour Street. And they were fine growing up, you know, but they really are they are the bane of his life, you know, because they one of them went to hospital and became, had a drug overdose. And he went round to everybody who was in there telling him how to get extra money out of the government. They had to put him in a room. But his mother was a wonderful lady. And she brought up all these boys. And they really were they are still, because it's the third generation like that.
Yeah.
But they would never hurt you. They would never steal from you.
Mm.
My mother, somebody broke into my mother's house in King Street when we were all grown up and away, and took her money out of her gas meter box. And the White's, which is three doors down, came and knocked on the door and said, Mrs. Parker, it won't ever happen again. I told them, don't think about it. I can assure you they'll never do it again. So they knew whoever did it. Mm. And but you just never, you never knocked your own, you know. They would always see you were all right.
Mm.
But it's a...
I spoke to a policeman last night, yesterday, who... He didn't start looking after, start working in the area till the 70s. But he says even then, there were people more people living there than there are now. So mm. there were always eyes on mm-hmm. the street. Mm. So whenever anything happened, you had a lot of people who had seen it or heard about it.
I'll tell you something. We lived in King Street and our friend lived in Margaret Road, over the side of the college.
Mm.
And you know the back lane where the church goes on to? Policemen used to come and see her down every... We used to come out to club at nine.
Mm-hmm.
And he and the next one, whoever changed, they towed the next one. And they used to be there. Do you want to go home, love? Now, she could have gone down the street that's light. But, of course, you don't, do you? You want to go down the dark lane. And he used to come every night, mm-hmm. every Friday night, and walk her down. And then when the next police... That for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just came. Let you, and if you're in trouble... There was a young lady who had a baby and wasn't married. And one person made all her clothes and somebody else did everything else. They'd have done anything to get her to keep it, but she knew she couldn't. And but I'll make all her clothes, I'll do this and that. Yes, there was always somebody, and always somebody would do it, you know, do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way of life. You never felt lonely. You were never, ever. I don't think I was ever on my own. And then I worked at Mark's with all that staff. And then I went off with my husband with it.
Yeah.
But I managed, you know. But it's a very... It's like big families.
Mm.
They're never hungry and they're never... But there's that closeness, isn't there, with people.
Yeah.
But, no, there's a... We'll just see if I can see... That's that one. I wrote down all these sayings, and I decided I would write. Well, the first one I did was a flood, but the second one I did was. Has anybody told you about how we did the street parties after the war?
No.
I've got all of that one, and see, the war was over, and the radio said, everyone said, come out of their houses. The war's over. And so the idea came from somewhere that they'd have a street party.
Mm-hmm.
And before you knew where you are, they were going to be the best. Theirs was going to be the best streets, you know. Every street was going to be the best. So then I put that the attics were searched for everything. Old Mr. Brown's said it needs organising, and he took his pencil behind his ear. And they did Mrs. James's best at cakes, and Jimmy Thomas called out, what about the flags across the street? And they said, well, we'll find some. And then another lady said, I've got some paper cut-offs. We used to have a paper place, and you can join the war, you had the cut-offs, the paper. You could make flags out of it and colour it. It was white. And so she chose that. And then they made the hats out of newspaper. The boys had, you know, sailor hats, and you coloured them with crayons. And they all got cutting, and then what else did they do? And
so these were the parties to celebrate the end of the war.
In the street. And what they would find the pasting tables out, then they'd find a bench, and then they would find something else. And then somebody else... And it's literally only what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had a jelly, and somebody had a tin of fruit that sailor had brought. And
all the different streets were competing.
Yeah, it had to be the best. Yes, and they had flags. Then some people found flags, big flags, you know, that had been in there for donkey's years. But and everybody competed for the best party.
And who had the best party?
We did, of course. And that. Yeah.
So I presume that everybody was involved in it.
Every solitary person, every child. Every adult, yeah. And I mean, some are better organising than others, but they had this object with one man. He would organise everything, you know. What about this? Well, you can do that.
Yeah.
But no, they were really good competition, yeah. But But I said, we didn't go up and see. You were telling me about the promenade. Did you know that the Ladies' College were only allowed out of the house, out of their college and down the promenade? They couldn't go farther at all, and they had to come back up.
So it was only the promenade that they were allowed to walk on?
That's it, yes. And now they're allowed down, you know. But, yes, they were only allowed down the promenade, escorted, and gotten back up to the houses. And they certainly wouldn't speak to the likes of me.
not the Lower Dockham lot.
Wouldn't even notice you. But Cheltenham was like that, you know. But I think a lot of places were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the cottages I looked after, they were built in 1899, and they were built by somebody who came back from India, built for the poor. And his wife built the children's hospital that was up in, children's hospital up, I think, in India. And she built that for the Cheltenham. So many rich people came to Cheltenham from when they come back from overseas. And you know, people still come to Cheltenham from London. We get a lot of people when they retire. They say there's so much going on here, and there's plenty.
It's a nice place to live.
Plenty of money.
Yeah.
And
I'm not one of those, unfortunately.
Well, you wouldn't be if you're a teacher or a lecturer. You never get up on that list.
Not much.
No, but I mean, I've taken up doing U3A, women's, you know, the U3A, and I do my writing with them. And but I meet them, and they say, we came to Cheltenham because we knew we could retire here, and plenty to do.
Yeah.
I mean, our U3, Cheltenham U3A, the book's out every 3 months, and it's still only £10 to join, because so many thousands and thousands of people belong to it, you know. So you can do absolutely anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a nice place to live.
So, and these street parties, did they happen only after the Second World War, or did they do them for other occasions?
We didn't. We waited for the main one. We didn't do it after Japan because Japan didn't seem so far away, didn't it?
Yeah.
We never really, unless you had somebody out there, you rather ignored that part. Mm. And Burma and that, you know, it was the worst part, really.
So, one of the other things that I've heard some other interviews talk about is how the area began to change in the late 50s and early 60s. And how some of the family businesses began to close.
Yes, because you couldn't get the food to sell. You see, during the war, you could only have what came through, and so you weren't making much money. So gradually, your savings and that goes. Yeah, and of course, you get these multiples coming in. You know.
So when after you had Angela, and you moved back to King Street. So this we're talking late 50s, early 60s. Yeah. How was the area different when you came back?
Not much.
No?
Very little, except that everybody had more money.
Ah, so people were much more well off.
Nobody is really poor today. These people that say they're poor, they are poor. They waste their money and they don't use it on food on the table, roof over your head.
Mm-hmm.
If they did that, they would manage fine. I truly believe this and I've done it. I mean, I lived on it. My husband was a corporal, you know, and I lived on a corporal's wage, which was about £3.
Mm-hmm.
But I never owed anybody a penny, and we were never hungry.
Mm-hmm.
People don't learn. They want, again, it's the want system. They want, and you can't explain to them that my son, 5 weeks, month, when it's a fine, drives him mad. But we used to put something in the cupboard. All you bought on the 5th week was milk and bread. You had enough to get in the cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody should learn how to manage, you know. And I truly believe anybody that you can live, live. Not all the extras. You can live on what you get there. You can live. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people that are begging have the basics.
Yeah.
And they got being paid for, and then they come for the extras.
So when you came back and you said the area hadn't changed very much, but people had a bit more money.
The odd car and the odd, you know.
So one of the other stories I heard that some of the shops began to close on Lower High Street
because they hadn't been able to make much profit for a long time. Mm. And also, they were getting older, remember. They were getting...
Family business.
Family business. Nobody wants to take it on. I mean, I know the Greens, they sent their grandson to Cambridge at 16. He was bright. Well, he didn't want the business. Mm. And that's it, you see. We were brought up with nothing. And we weren't even allowed to read in the house because... Reading's bad for you, you know? We used to sit in the loo and read, and my mother used to say, you're making your will, and used to put it behind the thing and come in. And so we were all got education yet, but I mean, my eldest daughter's granddaughter, and my eldest daughter has got a philosophy doctorate from Cambridge, and Angela's daughter's got her degree.
Yeah.
And they've all, I think that's what you do. When you're very poor, you make sure your children have more, and you make sure your children have more. You can get quite high before your children don't respect what is involved, you know. And my girls went to college, and they never, ever asked for any money. They managed on what they were getting. Well, and the one that got the doctorate at Cambridge, she's got her own house.
Yeah.
But it's all been helpful.
Yeah. So what's it been like living in that area over the years then?
I wouldn't have been anywhere else. I had lovely friends. As I say, there were three boys and two girls. We did everything together for years and years and years.
And did they also stay in the area?
Yes, yes. I'm the only one that went away.
But you came back.
Yeah, oh, well, I couldn't wait to come back.
You're right.
Yeah, there's no place on earth like Cheltenham, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you have to... It's a matter of... Unless you write it down, as I say, I've written it down. You think, oh yeah, now I remember that. Oh yeah, now I remember that. I mean, my mother had all these sayings, so I wrote them down and I sort of made them into a bit of a story with my sisters, you know. Then they say, look at that woman over there, she's done this, that. And you say, you can't say something good about somebody, don't say it.
Don't say it, right.
And I got to laugh. And funny enough, the girls, the other two, didn't remember them as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I never answered my mother back. I was in my 70s, 80s, when she died. Never, not said I might never if I'd had the chance. She'd say something, and she'd say, you can think what you like, but you don't say it.
Okay.
So we were brought, and even when she died, you know, when we were outside the church, and I said, well, I can truthfully say, you had your own way, Mother, tone you down, because you're gone, you know. She never had any money. When I was older, I often thought, well, she wouldn't have done to have a pound in her pocket, you know. Mm-hmm. But she never complained, never wanted. And she, as I say, she was always somebody would tell her if you. But it was never like the kids are today. You know, it was never anything destroying anything.
Yeah.
It was just, and I know, when I had my children, I made a promise that I would never, ever tell them off the first time they did something. Because you're thinking, well, what's she grumbling about? Because I didn't know it was wrong.
Yeah.
I always said, you know, the first time they did it, that's all right. You didn't know.
You know, we talked about earlier on about when you were growing up and you were a child and, you know, you sometimes didn't want to tell people you were from the area because, you know, you'd be looked down upon. Do you think that's changed at all, or is it still like that?
No, it's still like that.
And it's never gone away.
It'll never go away. So you say you live in St Paul's. You know, it's St Paul's now. Lower Dockham. You know St Paul's Street? That's opposite the church.
Yeah.
Well, that was considered all right. You were all right if you weren't there. Lived there. But if you lived in that road, or that road, you were in Lower Dockham. They were built a bit later.
Mm.
And cause I had a friend that lived there, you know, and she... She wouldn't let her children come into the youth clubs at church because they're mixing with the wrong people.
Ah,
you know?
Yeah. But this is all about the class thing, isn't it?
And it'll never go away.
Mm.
It'll never go away. Because my children, I mean, they travelled all over the world and they say they have an international voice. I mean, I don't think I speak Gloucester because I've met a lot. But you can always hear it in the back. Aren't you from Gloucestershire? You know.
So the thing it seems like you grew up then. You've lived there most of your life, and the area is always, the people from outside always imagine it to be more dangerous than it is.
That's right, yeah. Well, that's life, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's not when you're there, right? Because you've...
No, it's a fit, as I say, Brunswick Street was, you would, and then why weren't they in the end? The doubly they weren't even out.
Yeah.
But you always ran by.
Yeah, it's, but you go on what people tell you, don't you?
Yeah.
Because the lady I spoke to last night, where her father, the manager of when the cinema was the Soldo, he was attacked outside the cinema in 1959 or 1960, and then he left.
He wasn't one of us. Was
Do you think that's why he...
Oh, yes, he was fair game. He wasn't one of us.
Right, I see. So even though everyone would have known him...
Yeah, but he wasn't one of us, was he? He was an incomer.
Right, okay. So there was an us and them...
Oh, yes, yeah. You have to, don't you?
Mm.
You know. But when this church we went to, I mean, we used to go there nearly every night for something, brownies or club and whatnot. And right up until I got married... I went to church and went to, and I still go to church. I went to church and we all went on trips together and save up, you know. But we did all, but we had a very, as I said, it's moral. My mother wasn't a church goer, but it was morals.
Yeah.
You had your moral basic. Yeah. And if you went to tea for a party after the war, don't take the biggest cake. I'll feed you when you come home, but don't take the biggest cake. They were that proud that their children had to, nobody said their children didn't behave, you know. It was just, and of course it stands you in good stead all your life.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I'm 87 and I've never owed a penny in my life other than a mortgage.
How do you feel now when you walk down the Lower High Street?
Don't mind at all, don't mind at all. I don't feel I belong anymore. No, I don't belong anymore, do
why,
I? Because I don't live there, you know. I've gone up a bit. No, I wouldn't think... I would say that 99% of people that live there are now all not mid working class. I think the next one up after Lower Duckham, you know, and my children would think they're middle class because they've all been to university, they've all got good jobs, and the children have all done well. So you feel you're going up, but I think that's life.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody. I mean, my sister had a neighbour who, both from Bernardo, the boy and the girl, and they got a council house, and they brought up three children, and they brought them up. Never mixed them, beautifully turned out, very clever, all went to university. They were going to make sure that they didn't go through what they went through. That's life.
Do you ever remember when one of the shops closed, or a few of them closed, that you were really sad about? Were there any ones
that... Trying to think. We had Whiting's, which was the pork butcher, and then next to Marks and Spencer's was Posner's, the... What's the name? I'm trying to think. And not really. No, I can't think of... Because, I mean, you didn't spend much. You only spent... Remember queuing up during the war? So the word would go round, so-and-so and so-and-so got something, and they... Hey, Joe, go and stand down by Greens just in case it happens, and you were there. And I was in Marks during the war, so we had so many biscuits a day we could sell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a lovely story. We had a dozen carpets, right? And the manager says, come on, Joan, you take... It was 99 pence they were, these carpets. So he took the pound, and I gave him the payback. And this lady said, I want my penny. I said, you haven't paid. And she was one of these Lower Dockhams, and she said, yes, no, you haven't. So Mr. Broadley said, oh, give it her. I said, but he said, at the end, if we check and she has done you, I won't be cross. But she got away with it, you know, because he said, you get somebody in Lower Duckham, say Marks and Spencer's don't treat you right. You don't tell them you cheated in the beginning, but you get very bad publicity.
Mm.
So you would give her the carpet to avoid bad publicity.
Okay.
But that was the sort. And I mean, I'll tell you another one. We had we had heating, you see, during the war. So people had no coal or anything. And so the old people used to come in and just walk round, just to keep warm. And so you got to really know them, and they say, I am a... And one day they said that Sir Simon Marks was coming, and so we had to be all on our bench. So I was on the counter, and this little man, you know, little old man with a, in a brown white striped suit, came up and started chatting, and I chatted to him just like I would anybody else. And I said, "Oh, excuse me," I said, "we're having a visitor today. You know what I'm going to say? We're having a visitor today. Mr. Broadley's going bonkers on the stairs. Come back later and we'll finish it." He said, "Thank you, my dear." And he had two bodyguards, you know, they come to him. Of course, we thought they were Marx. He was Marx.
Mm.
And he gave me a 50 pence rise, which was a lot of money in them days. And he said, "That's the sort of person I want." And what he did for his staff in the olden days.
Mm.
But it was really funny. But you were a community in there. You all put money. We used to go out together, all of us, you know. And it's a good way, isn't it, good life? But the young, they don't seem to mix today. Everybody seems...
Yeah, there's a very different society these days, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm. A lot of them coming and going.
Yeah, and no, nobody staying, you know. You know somebody all your life, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We had a long talk.
Well, we have, unless... we can stop it there if you like.
Well, I'm going to, because I've got a lunch appointment.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks very much. That's okay, fine. If I stop...